home for the most comprehensive Leafs talk anywhere. This is Leafs Lunch with Andy Petrillo on TSN 4 and TSN 1050, the voice of Leafs Nation.
Leafs are in action tonight, taking on the Islanders on TSN. Very special night, too. Trade Center preview show at 7 p.m. because March 1st is right around the corner. Puck drops 7:30 on TSN 4. As we welcome you on into Leafs Lunch, Jenny Petrillo alongside Patrick O'Sullivan. And our special guest today, our TSN senior hockey writer, Mr. Frank Cervelli.
So special.
Flying on in from Philly to spend some time with us.
Excited to have you, Frank. The last guy we had in here was extremely interested in getting everyone life advice. So
I
looking
can't
forward
do that.
To not having that.
I've barely
you.
Been alive long enough.
This is true.
I don't even know what I'm doing myself most days.
Although the two of you were talking about being parents, and I'm like, I have no clue what you're talking about.
You're a puppy parent.
I'm a puppy parent. I'm a furry baby parent. Happy Valentine's. I guess it's just kind of like you have to say Happy Valentine's because it is Happy Valentine's Day.
Why?
I don't know. I don't celebrate it. I never really have. In fact, I can't even remember the last time my husband and I were together on Valentine's Day. We're just never in the same. We're not in the city at the same time. And we don't do gifts. Like, we don't. I mean, I eat chocolate whenever the heck I want.
I didn't even get my wife a card.
No, I buy flowers for myself if I want, then he'll buy them whenever. Like, it's just, it's not a thing that we celebrate.
Yeah,
so
it's a stupid holiday. I got flowers and I gave them to my son and let him give them to my wife. But only
that's
really
a veteran move right there.
Yeah.
That's cute.
I just don't get it. Like it.
See, I understand the premise. I get where it's going. I do like it because it's supposed to be about spending a day with somebody you love. But it, once again, like everything in life, it's just become material. And it's about how much you spend on them or
right.
the gift you get for them. Or if you go out to dinner and the jacked up prices and the you're missing the point of
it's
Valentine's Day.
Like New Year's
Day.
Eve. All the pretenders come out.
Yeah.
Like, let's do it the other 364 days.
That's what we say. It's the people who never go out and party who always go out and party on New Year's Eve.
Amateur hour.
All right. So the Leafs looking to change some things around here. And looks like they've begun with a slogan. Play fast, play right. That's what's now on the wall. And we know, like, this isn't anything new. We know this is stuff that teams do. I personally am a motto person. Depending on what's going on in my life, I do usually grab on to certain mottos and slogans, and I'll post them up or what have you. Well, I actually have a personal motto, which I tattooed on myself. So it's on my wrist. Huh. It's going nowhere.
This isn't the direction I thought this was heading in.
No, but I like this kind of stuff. Like, this to me, and it works. Like, it works with me. I personally like it. Play fast, play right. Babcock saying that he typically tries to see where the team is at, what their identity is at, what's happening at that moment, and that's the slogan that he'll use. Are you guys into slogans?
I understand if you have a personal one like yours, where it's like something you glance at, and then you go about your day.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a reminder or a mindset that you like to have for yourself if you're an individual. I have no issue with that. But as far as a team's concerned, you put that up on the wall, it's like, there goes my phone. It's like, you know, you read that when you walk in, and then you also hear like 50 million other things in the room when the coach is talking, and it's just, I don't really know what it, I guess from a player's standpoint, it doesn't do much.
Like, you don't think so?
No, I don't.
I don't think they even pay attention a little bit to that.
Really?
What is your slogan? You didn't tell us.
Mine is peaceful heart, warrior spirit. So that is what I have. Yes, that's what's tattooed on my wrist. And I know a lot, because I always try to wear...
Peaceful heart.
I always try, I know, an Italian,
that,
what?
I don't know where that came from.
And I do wear a watch or a bangle on that arm every time, you know, when I'm on TV and stuff. And sometimes people catch it and they're like, oh, what's that? So that's what it says. It says peaceful heart, warrior spirit. I can go into, you know, explaining why. But anyways, it's my personal slogan.
Don't.
No, it's okay. I don't need to. But I like them. I think Randy Carlyle, though, he actually went the distance. We were discussing this. Like, he went the distance because not only did he put a slogan in the room, he put a massive limestone rock in the entrance.
The Rock of Gibraltar right in the middle of the Leafs room.
I tripped over it.
It was the most bizarre things I've ever seen. Like, who thought that would be a good idea? Like, they had to bring in a crane to get that thing in the ACC.
That was a big rock.
But for what?
Because he rock solid. It was actually really funny. One of the articles, too, was talking about how, like, The Rock will also symbolize the chiseled physiques of the athletes as they report to training
Except
camp.
Except Phil Kessel was on the roster.
It's like, oh,
nothing
man.
Nothing chiseled. I'm as chiseled as Phil Kessel.
Oh, come on, Frank.
Yeah, I know. Let's not get carried
crop top. I'm going to call you crop top. But you know what? Sometimes I like it. Sometimes I think you need to have that kind of thing in your face. It's just something you say over and over again.
I'm telling you, when you go into the room, you don't even, after the first day, it doesn't even cross your mind.
Yeah, I get that. Maybe it's more of a coach thing, too. Like, maybe it's more for him.
It's 100%. These guys just, they need control. They want to have their hand in everything that goes on. Like, what was wrong with the slogan they had to start with? What was that one before they changed it?
You know what? I don't even know.
So what if they lose 8 in a row? Are we going to go for
again.
Another slogan change?
Get the stencil out.
Only here would this be a story, too. It's amazing. Like, we talked about Kadri's cat for a day. Like, this is now a thing.
No, I know.
Babs comes out today and he says, man, if I knew this would be a story, I would have changed it every month. And he probably will now on just to get us talking about something else other than
the fact that they're not winning.
Right. Well, maybe that's kind of the motivation behind it. Let's change the storyline for a day.
I don't know. I don't know what he is. He goes so many different directions with the media that I don't really think there's a point in looking into anything.
Well, I don't know. We look into it because it's interesting to talk about.
I mean, I know that's our job, but I'm saying, like, yesterday is a good example about Nylander.
So that's a confusing one because... We really don't know what the plan is. And what I mean by that is on the ice, because we were discussing if the Leafs are struggling, so they have only 2 wins in their last 8 games. There's a whole bunch of other things going on there. They're not scoring as much. We always knew their defense needed help, but, you know, Morgan Riley's injured. He's not playing the way he used to. They're definitely not outscoring their mistakes anymore. Anderson not playing the way he did at the beginning of the season. He's been stuck on career win number 99 since February 4th. He's played 3 games since then. He's still looking for that milestone 100. He'll be a net tonight. So we were like, okay, if you're going to change things up because you're not winning, do you change up the lines? And Bob McKenzie was on, and he said, well, I don't think they're going to bring anybody in, because that's what I asked him. I said, there's no doubt that you need to fix that blue line, and maybe you do it by way of trade. But another topic that we keep discussing has been, is Matthews playing with the guys that he should be playing with? Like, are these are these the guys that still will be his future line mates? And he said, Bob McKenzie said, well, it looks like the idea will be for William Nylander to be on his wing. Like, that would probably be his permanent guy. But Babcock has said that he still thinks Nylander can be a center in the league. Then yesterday during practice said he's going to be a winger for the rest of the season. So I don't know. What's going on with Nylander?
Well, I think they would love for him to get to the point where they could play him at center. Then you're able to do different things with your lines. Bozak probably not coming back. You put Nylander in the middle with Kadri and Matthews. Now you have 3 great centers. He can't play center right now. Not even close.
What's stopping him?
He doesn't understand that you have to be below the puck in your own end. He doesn't battle hard enough on the walls. It's just, to me, it's more of a mindset thing. And frankly, most guys his age are like him. It just so happens they have 2 other guys who are not. They're the rare situation in Marner and Matthews. Those guys are really, really good defensively for their age. So I think Nylander can figure it out, and I think he's gotten better at it.
But what's going to make him get it, though? I mean, he's 75 games into his career now. What clicks at game 150 that doesn't click now?
Well, what clicks is, why am I not playing in the last 5 minutes of games when they're close? Why am I playing with Komarov and Kadri and not Matthews? The longer that goes on, the more he's going to have to understand what his weaknesses are.
But wouldn't that have hit you 40 games ago, not now?
Yeah, well, you'd assume so, Frank, but it doesn't always work that way.
So that's kind of where I'm going, is he ever going to get it? Especially if we've already made the declaration from the coach saying he's not going to play in that role the rest of this season.
My personal thought on him is that he'll never be a center.
Right. If you're not now, you're not ever going to be, probably.
I just don't think Yeah, I also think it takes away from some of the things he's really good at. When you think the game the way he does, you have to, if you're a winger, you can cheat a little bit. Marner does it too. You can't cheat when you're a center. You have to be below the puck all the time. I just don't think it's a good position for him to play at this level.
It is hard to say too, because Kadri, I mean, you look at where he is in his career, how many years he's been in the league, and he's been asked to change, and he embraced it, and he changed. So I don't know, but you're right. Like after
not impossible.
This, it's not impossible, but you're right.
But how much has he changed? I think he's just improved.
Yeah, he's improved, but that's the point I'm trying to make is at
half the battle, right? You have to be willing to do it.
You have to, and I think that's the key to what you just said, Sully. It's like at some point, if Nylander starts to say, "Well, I want to be the guy who's out there when we have a lead, and it's the dying minutes of the game, and you know, I want to be there, or I want to be alongside Matthews because." Whatever, that can mean better offensive production too, and I want to be on that number one power play unit. Like all these certain things where you're like, I want. Great, this is what you need to do to get there. And if at that point it doesn't happen or doesn't click, then yeah, like it's never going to happen.
Especially with Babcock. We're talking about the Lions and Matthews and like what, do they maybe get another player in there with him? Because clearly Connor Brown shouldn't be playing with a top 20 player in the game. That's been proved. He's proven it himself by his numbers, and I can go through all that if you'd want. But, you know, they.
So what's the ideal situation? Like, if you were to redesign the Lions yourself, who do you stick Austin Matthews with?
I'd put Nylander with him. And
keep Hyman on the left side?
Yeah. I think those two are actually fine together. They just.
So you think it's Connor Brown that's bringing down.
No, I don't know that he's bringing down anything. He just doesn't create enough by himself, and he doesn't get open. He's not even getting chances and not scoring. So it's, I don't know. It's not an easy thing. And look, when they rip a couple wins off in a row, we seem to forget about it. But if you look at the numbers for Matthews' two line mates, there's not another team in the league that has two guys playing with their best player that are, as I said yesterday, they're limited because of what they can do. And the lack of production is shocking. Hyman has 3 goals in 27 games, all shorthanded. We know what that means, that his center is not even on the ice with him. Connor Brown has 2 goals his last 14 games.
Yeah, 2 points in his last 12 games, 1 goal, 1 assist. And then you look at Matthews and see how that corresponds to the same date we're looking at almost the last month. Matthews, 12 games played, 6 points. Not nearly the clip that he was playing at before. And I think more importantly, not getting nearly as many chances and looking as noticeable as he normally has been. You know, granted, he had the 3-point game 10 days ago, but he hasn't looked like the same player, and there's been way more stretches of 3 games where he's not scoring at all.
Well, and also, and we've noticed it happened fairly quickly, where other teams now are putting their best lines, their best D pairings, up against the Matthews line.
Surprised it took that long.
And there's only so much one guy can do. So he needs help from his line mates too, because you're not going to get away with what they were getting away with in the beginning of the season when it was seen more as the Bozak line was seen as the number one.
Well, forget about what numbered the lines are, because they're not treated that way, really.
No, but I'm
not one guy, not one forward plays 18 minutes a night. So those top 9, they all play the same amount.
But I'm referencing the other teams, like how they view the Leafs. They're like, okay, well, I'm going to put my top, in my shutdown line and my D pairing up against the Bozak line. Then it's quickly been like, oh, this actually needs to be against the Matthews line. So that's the point. It's like Matthews needs help. He's not going to be getting around these other strong players on the opposition if he doesn't have the line mates that can help out with that. And that's where we are with this. And we talked again about not being able to score. There was a stretch there in December where they went 11 straight games, 3 or more goals. It's not happening now. They've scored like 1 goal in 4 games.
The league gets harder. It gets tighter. And it becomes difficult to score. And that's clear.
Maybe that's kind of the point, though, is that if you're having teams key up on the Matthews line, that not to say you offer him that in that line as the sacrificial lamb, but you load up on your other two lines to perhaps create advantages where there are weaknesses in the matchup game. We know how much Mike Babcock relies on the matchup game at times. Maybe he's hoping that Austin and Zach Hyman can kind of produce on their own despite whoever's on that right side, and kind of lends itself to what you were saying yesterday about, do they maybe think about going out to get someone? And probably not going to happen between now and March 1, but something to think about for the summer when you're retooling your roster.
It's fine to say that they want to match up against Matthews, and I think going into most games, that's what other teams would like to do. But there's been a lot of nights lately where they're so ineffective that the other team just forgets about them, and you go to your next matchup. Because lately, Marner has been way more dangerous night in and night out. So that's a fluid situation. You don't just say, you know, here's their best player. We're going to put our best forward line and our top 2D against him. You look at the sum of all the parts, and I don't think it's that Matthews line right now, which is even harder to deal with if you're the Leafs because they still can't do anything.
Are we paying enough attention to Morgan Rielly not being 100%? Do you think that's also playing a factor?
I think it's playing a factor in the goalie, what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at his numbers. I think since Christmas, he has a .901 save percentage. I mean, it's just, it hasn't been good enough. And I think that starts with the inconsistency around him, both with Rielly being out, and then when he got back, he hasn't been the same player.
No.
So it's almost like you have a guy that's skating on one leg that's trying to shoulder the load for the whole defense core.
Look, none of this should really be surprising because this is what this team is made of. They've gotten to this point because of their top nine, their depth mm-hmm. there, the balanced scoring. That started to dry up a bit. The games are getting closer to what you'll see in the playoffs, which is less rush chances. Leafs are spending more time in their own end. Well, what's their weak point? Their defensemen. Mm-hmm. They can't defend, and they can't move the puck well enough.
And now what is supposed to be your best defenseman is not playing at 100%.
Right. So
that's why I just wonder, like, are we even paying attention enough to the fact that it's like, listen, you've got a guy who is injured. As much as, you know, you get out on the ice, you strap your skate on. Yes, it creates that compression, and maybe when you start skating a little bit more.
It's not the same.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Because I know sometimes when you go out and you're injured, sometimes you get out there and then maybe it just becomes so painful, it's numb, but you don't realize subconsciously it's affecting.
Or you get someone actually, to numb it for you.
Yeah, but it actually is affecting your skating, your play. You just don't realize
affecting
it. So defensively,
the whole thing.
It's struggling, jumping in on the rush, not happening. Yeah. I mean, you got to look at that too.
I think this team is, they're not as good as that team that we saw that went on a really good run. And I don't think they're as bad as the team that we've seen the last 8 games. I think they're somewhere in between that. And where that leaves you is kind of right where they are. They're going to be scrambling to get in. Mm-hmm.
But to put that in perspective, this is kind of exactly where they wanted to be. They wanted to be playing meaningful games in the final third
100%.
Of the season. And this is where they are.
I think a lot of people struggle with trying to figure out why they can't score like they were scoring.
Mm-hmm.
And why Anderson isn't better. Why isn't he closer? Well, he needs to be a little bit better, but he's also not as good as he was playing either during that stretch when he was lights out. With
30 games at 933.
Right. That's just not going to happen.
He's somewhere in the middle between that and the 901, which is
I'd say he's
a little above league average.
Right. He's slightly above league average. He's a top 15 goalie, but it's not what it was.
And now it's a different challenge because in the beginning, it was all about the Leafs getting out to these leads and then being unable to hold on to the leads. Now, in the 8 games, so they've only won twice in 8 games.
Mm-hmm.
6 out of those 8 games, so 6 times out of 8, the opponent has scored first. And they've scored fast, 5 times, less than 5 minutes into the game. A couple times, it was actually less than 3 minutes into the game. Or I should say 3 times it was less than 3 minutes into the game. I think the Dallas, the Islanders, the Boston, I think those were less than 3 minutes into the game. Your opponent has scored. And then less than 5 minutes into the game, they've scored. So not only are you getting down, but you're getting down early. And you haven't even properly put your mouth guard in, and already you're down in the game.
This brings me to a good point. And I hate every time that this comes up in a scrum is the question of how important is it to get off to a hot start? Every time someone brings that up, and it's like, no, we want to get off to a bad start.
It's kind of obvious.
We're going to try a slower start tonight, and we'll see how that works.
Said no one ever.
But this is the thing. So now it's like this whole other challenge. And what is going on? Like, seriously, where is the intensity to start these games?
It's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I think you go through down periods throughout the course of a year. There's too many games in the season. We've talked about that a lot. And they're in one of those right now. And it's the good teams, the teams that make the playoffs, figure out how to end these quicker than the teams who don't. And that's really the difference in this league.
Mm-hmm. It's a different
gear. The good teams extend their good periods, and they cut off their bad periods quicker than the teams below them in the standings. So I think when you have the makeup that the Leafs have roster-wise, if you look at the age and even kind of how their players slot in, the way their D look, they need confidence. They need to have a good start. And so much of it isn't about scoring the first goal. The team who scores the first goal actually has a lower percentage winning has a lower winning percentage than the team who scores the second goal and the third goal. So it's not about scoring the first goal. It's about having a good start.
Mm-hmm. And it is a little alarming when you hear Mike Babcock say that he was surprised to see the start, because most times as a coach, you can get a feel for your team, whether it's in warm-up or at the skate, and kind of get a sense how they're going to play that night. And for him to say that he's shocked, you almost never hear that from him, seeing the start that they had. And I think the one key thing that we should point out, too, is that while this is a really young team, these are the dog days of the season. They're at the point where they can, as Mike Babcock would say, feel a little bit fat and comfortable with where they are. But they're not close enough to the end of the season where they can see the light at the end of the tunnel and the games are really, really starting to matter, even though they are theoretically mm-hmm. points-wise. So this is a team that's kind of working its way through that for the first time, and it's a lot easier said than done, I think.
Yeah, and sometimes at this point in the year, there's different levels of desperation that teams come into games with.
Yeah. Well, you know, and we talked
like
about
that Boston game, you know, what, who do you think is going to be desperate at that point? I mean, they're
look at all the teams they've played. The Islanders are trying to get back in the hunt. They were dead last in the East, are now in the playoff picture. Dallas is a team that's scrapping for their lives. I mean, these last few games, St. Louis, they had a coaching change, and they're turning it around. The issue is, this is
Buffalo
exactly...
Buffalo had their Stanley Cup that night. That's how they were looking at it.
Good for them. And this is exactly what the Leafs are going to face the rest of the year. So it's kind of like, do you hear the alarm clock now or not? And are you going to get it or not?
Right. And that has to come from the guys in the room. Not the coach.
Not the slogan?
Not the slogan, not the coach.
See, I wanted to give more love to the slogan because I'm big into those mottos, and you guys just shut me down.
Yeah, but you came up with yours, right?
I came up
That's
with
That's why
one.
You like it?
Yes.
Some guy, the coach, putting something up on the wall.
She didn't make that up. It was a stencil at the tattoo
but
parlor.
But it means...
I said, I'll take that one on the wall.
But it means something to you.
Yes.
These guys didn't come up with
that. That is a valid point. And by the way, mine is written in English. It's not in some other language where maybe
Should
you think
French.
It means something, and then they actually, like, as a joke.
I'm disappointed that it's on your wrist.
Where would you want my forehead?
Yeah. Why? If you're going to go big.
I have other
go
tattoos.
Bold.
I want more, but my husband doesn't like them.
Oh.
I know. He is the party pooper. Because, yeah, anyways. But Leafs, twice they've played the Islanders, haven't been able to beat them. One loss was in overtime. But you talk about them beating the playoff pitcher. They played the same amount of games as the Leafs. They're only 1 point behind the Leafs. Like, you're right. This is when other teams find a way to kick it into another gear. Do the Leafs have that experience in them to kick it into another gear?
How about the change, though, in the Islanders since the coaching change? Incredible. 8-2-2 under Doug Waite. Their power play has gone from 26th to 8th. Their penalty kill has gone from 21st to 1st. I know that this is a limited sample size, and we love to hit on that. But in 12 games, that's a ridiculous turnaround for a team that was buried at the bottom.
Yep.
And for a guy that was on the bench previously as an assistant coach to come in and snap his fingers and make those changes is frankly unheard of in the middle of a season.
Yeah, I'm not sure there's a lot of changes that even happen. It's just that the top guys start performing.
Well, he said there were some technical changes, like he wanted his forwards playing lower in their own end and
sure.
lots of other tweaks that they made. But on the whole, I mean, this is the same roster, same group of guys, and you're kind of seeing it in St. Louis. All of a sudden, you take Ken Hitchcock out of the picture, and Mike Yeo is chirping Patrick Berglund for his haircut, which is something Hitch would never do. All of a sudden, he grabs the attention of the room, and who knows where that goes. Some players were saying last year, if they made a coaching change in St. Louis, that players would have ran through a wall for anyone.
Yeah, that's... Frank, that's what it's about. If you're a coach, you have to get your guys to feel like you actually care about them, and then they want to go out and play every night. That's why Barry Trotz is one of the best coaches.
Love
in the
Barry Trotz.
Like, people, there's only so many ways you can play the game with the speed of it, and everybody, there's only so many ways you can forecheck, so many ways you can run a power play. So what separates it? Well, it's who you have on your roster, and how they execute.
Not slogans.
Not slogans.
Leave the slogans alone. That's got to be, like, what a dagger to the heart, though, eh? If you're the coach and then you get fired and then the team goes on a rampage and you're like,
wallpapers over your slogan.
I know. You're like, oh, my God, did I suck that badly?
Take your rock and they roll it down a hill somewhere.
How did they get rid of that Randy Carlyle rock? That's another question.
They probably set it on
fire. How do you get rid of a massive rock in the room?
Burn the boats.
All right, we've got a lot to talk about because, yeah, as we mentioned, March 1st is just around the corner. Frank, I know you're going to be part of the Trade Center preview show tonight, so maybe we can get a little sneak peek here on who's on the trade bait list, the TSN trade bait list, and I don't know, are the Leafs interested in anybody? Would they make any kind of sense? And by the way, we have two tickets to give away to tonight's Leafs game against the Islanders at the Air Canada Center. So listen up, I'm going to have to think on the spot of a trivia question, but we are going to be giving away two tickets to the Leafs Islanders game tonight as you continue to listen to Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050, streaming online and on TSN 4. Oh, what a lovey-dovey day. Good to know, though, that Twitter doesn't care that it's Valentine's Day and there's still some nasty people out
there.
Not
happy today with the show.
Oh, it is just so funny to me. I love it when people, like, it's unsolicited advice or opinion. Didn't ask for
it. You could have Wayne Gretzky on this show.
And they'll rip him.
Talking about hockey, and someone would write in.
Who's that idiot talking about hockey?
Who's that idiot? Get someone in there who knows what Corsi is.
Oh, man. I can feel the love in the air as we welcome you back into Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050, streaming online and on TSN 4. Andy Petrillo alongside Frank Saravelli and Patrick O'Sullivan. March 1st, around the corner. Our team's going to be busy. Are they not going to be busy on TSN.ca, the trade bait list? That got updated. So now we're seeing 30 names ranked in order. Number one, still Kevin Shattenkirk and Matt Duchene, Martin Hanzel, rounding out the top three. And then you got some other guys added there all the way to 30. So you can take a look. We got their position, their age, their cap
hit. Real beauties toward the bottom of the list, too.
Really are. P.A. Parenteau.
P.A. Parenteau. 13 goals this season.
Don't think the Leafs will be going after him again. Do you think?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh.
It's like, but he was on this board last year and couldn't find any takers. Like, at a time when the Leafs were selling off everyone for seventh round picks.
Well, because it's easier said than done when it comes to trades, because another team has to be willing to tango. And then what's the asking price, right?
Not much. That's the point.
So,
Alex Burrows on the list. Curtis Lazar. Jordan Eberle.
Someone should get Burrows and then completely ruin their chances at playing in the playoffs.
Okay, let's just be honest. If Burrows were to ever come to the Leafs, what would you do?
I'd go in the room every day.
And what, just stare at him?
Yeah. Ask him if he wants to say anything else outside of the rink.
How would that work
out? I challenged him to a boxing match on Twitter.
No, you didn't.
Oh, yeah.
When did you do that?
2 months ago.
Like a legit, said, like get in the ring?
Yeah. Yeah. Look, this guy, he's a horrible person. I have no respect for him. Nobody else does who plays. So I would never talk about another player the way I talk about him.
Mm-hmm.
But
he deserves it.
Yeah, every word. Anything that happens to him, he deserves.
So if we look at this list, does any player stand out to you as somebody that could do something long-term for the Toronto Maple Leafs? Because if I look at, this is the thing. So if we're looking at wingers right now, right?
Let's just, before we get into this, let's just say that I don't think any one of us believe that the Leafs are going to do anything drastic.
Yeah.
But we're just playing a game here. So, like, let's just to eliminate.
This is not reporting.
The blowback.
Yeah. This is not who we think they should or could go after before March 1st or on March 1st.
Potential fits. What maybe?
Because I do believe the Leafs will make noise in the summer. I just don't know how much they're going to do at trade deadline.
I agree.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, trade deadline, is that not really more for teams anyways who really feel like they're in the hunt for the cup? I mean, is this where we start to see who really feels like they're in it or who has their core together and really just need a couple pieces here and there so it doesn't affect them long term, whatever they give up? Because that's what I feel like trade deadline is for.
I don't remember
the
last team that was quote unquote rebuilding that was looking to acquire people at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter where you are in the standings.
I wonder if this year is going to be the death of the trade deadline.
It could be.
Why would
and
you
if not
that?
This year, would be next year with the cap being flat because it's only going to get harder. I just don't think you're not going to see any teams get caught up in the, oh, let's trade a first rounder for a rental. It just isn't going to happen. I mean, I think the Kings were one of the last teams to do it. They got Sakara. He ended up walking to Edmonton, got nothing back for him. They didn't even make the playoffs that year. Like, that is the perfect kind of danger sign of let's mm-hmm. not go down this road. Teams realize how valuable, not only that, but learning about some of their own players that they have in their system. They too often they try and, you know, fill a hole with a guy that they could just bring up and test and figure out what you have. And instead they bring in a high-priced rental that does nothing by and large. I mean, when's the last trade that you see that happened at the trade deadline that put a team over the top? I mean, is it Vermette in Chicago? That was a pretty good one. Other than that,
didn't really do anything till the playoffs started.
He scored and he had a game-winning goal in the playoffs, which maybe that alone you say is worth it. But geez,
I mean, LA. LA did get Justin Williams for a certain someone sitting doing the show right now, and the next year they won the cup. But as far as
immediate impact,
it's tough. Like it's you're typically adding something that is going to make your depth stronger.
And the conversations we keep having is all about drafting and developing.
Like, look at some of these teams, to go back to your point. Like, look at the Washington Capitals last year. They added, I think, Mike Weber at the deadline because they felt like they needed to. He didn't do anything. I think he sat as a healthy scratch for a bunch of games on D. Mm-hmm. And before that, they added Mike Richards in the middle of the season as a free agent signing. But so often these GMs feel the need to tinker. When are you going to get to the point where you say, my team's good enough as is. Let's go do it. Like, when I look at some teams now, when I look at Washington, I'd say the same thing right now. The way they're humming, unless there's a major injury between now and March 1st, between 2 weeks from tomorrow, why would you do anything? You think your roster's 30 deep anyway with the guys you have in the AHL.
That's what I mean. You're looking, or if you do add something, it's cheap. It's a fifth-round pick for a defenseman who might play half the games you have left.
But those guys sometimes end up, even the cheap acquisitions end up messing up the juju.
Well, I mean, you'd have to do your due diligence. Play that back.
I just knew you were going to work that out on your own. It's okay.
Tongue's tied.
You put jujubes in his mouth or
no? You're right
you
though.
You tweak just to tweak, or you add just to add, and it's
there's
like
not
you
a
don't
lot.
Need to.
There's not a lot. I know when it goes against what we're trying to do here at TSN with the show and everything else, but there's just not much here. There's not much at all.
Oh, no, James Duthie is well-prepared. He knows that they're going to sit up there and probably have nothing for hours.
The day's gone by. Like, when I was traded at the deadline, that was in...
Would you watch TSN?
2009. Oh, yeah, the guys... But that's when things were going flying all over the place. Player-for-player deals. And now it's just... It's completely different.
So this is another topic that I was going to bring up, because when we look at this list, the first thing now that I look at when it comes to the Toronto Maple Leafs, when I look at these players, I immediately go to the age. I don't even go to the cap hit, which is what we used to look at before. Like, how much are they making?
Well, you should.
You look at their production. Well, yes.
Well, for the Leafs, though.
But for the Leafs, I feel like now I go straight to the age.
So who works? What about Anthony Duclair? I know he's on the left side, but he's a guy at 21 that I might be interested in taking a run at. I wonder what the price is like. We've heard the prices are astronomical in Arizona for guys like Hanzel and some of the other UFAs that they have.
That Hanzel's so hot right now. Sorry, I can't say
his name
without
saying
that.
How about this? Just for the sake of the show and what we're talking about regarding the Leafs, one player that would make their D instantly better and potentially a guy that they could re-sign is Stone in Arizona. He's a defenseman.
Agree.
Mm-hmm. Right-hand shot. Last year he had
37 points.
See, and then I look, 26. So I'm like, okay, yeah, he can be part of the conversation. Because I look at the age.
And he's better than...
You're going to need to pay him, though. And that's part of the issue is like, okay, let's trade for this guy, and we want to re-sign him. But then you it's a bigger picture than that. You're going to need to re-sign Matthews. You're going to need to re-sign... All these guys are going to be getting big-ticket contracts you have to squeeze
in. But I don't know how big they're going to be, Frank, because to your last point earlier about the cap, I think we may see something that we just saw in baseball where...
More bridge deals?
Yeah, and you're not just handing a guy like Mark Stone 5 years at $4 million because he had one season where he had 37 points. Like maybe I think hockey players understand their worth a lot better than the other sports, where they know, like, the perfect example is Yarncroke in Nashville. Last year he had 19 goals. He ended up signing for like 4 years at like 2.5 a year. And everybody's up in arms. Oh, he almost had 20 goals. He should be making double that almost. And what's he thinking? But he knows, the player knows, 19 is my ceiling. Why am I going to have a couple years where I only get 10 and all of a sudden I got to get bought out?
Your contract's held against you.
Yes, because you price yourself out of what you're capable of doing. So I think a guy like Stone...
You don't think Matthews is the exception to that, though? Like, for the guy that's signing a huge number?
Matthews?
Yes.
Yeah, no, those guys are... That's completely different. But at the same time, I also think he's smart enough to go the Crosby route. Say, who do I want to play with? Like, do I want to play with Hyman and Brown my whole career? Or do I want to take less money and get some guys in here that can play with me?
Which is what you could well see McDavid do starting on July 1.
Like, what's the point of... Those guys are going to make so much money outside of their salary. What's the point of needing to make 12 or 13 million? Doesn't make any sense to me. But they could get it. They put their feet to the fire. Like, what are you going to say? No? Like, if you're the Leafs?
And to do it with two or three other guys at the same time. Not at the same number, but... My point being, it's going to add up quickly. So if you're bringing in Stone, you might only be able to keep him for 2 years. Before his $4 million.
That's a pretty good window the Leafs have.
Right.
Because of the entry-level situation with Matthews and Marner. Once you get out of that, now you're looking at a completely different situation. So,
is that necessarily a bad thing? Like, I know players have the right to have, like, the seven-year deal. And Kevin Shattenkirk, there's been a lot of talk that he's probably going to get that. But are we slowly even going to start to see that go by the wayside? Because especially given your... If you're a player who's already in his late 20s or early 30s...
Keith Yandel. Good
God. I mean,
God.
Our team's going it's to tough. Want to sign you to that.
No.
And is it such a bad thing to say, I'm going to give you a three-year deal? Like, who's to say you can't turn things around in 3 years? Like, I don't understand this whole, we got to sign a guy for 7 years because that's how long it's going to be until we really make something happen.
Well,
really?
If you're going to sign a guy to 7 years, do it while he's 23.
Well, you know what's going to happen, right? Over time, in 5 years, the PA is going to say, we want UFA to be even younger. Because now... Guys can barely get to 30 in the league.
Because your career's shorter.
So it's the same thing that happened in
Well, you'd have to revamp the whole entry-level system. Like, the way that these guys are almost held hostage now at 925 plus their signing bonuses, and the production and impact that most of them are making as 18-year-olds, it's something the game's never seen before, so it's going to take an adjustment period, but you're going to have to revamp that system during the next CBA, I think.
Yeah, well, the reason it is the way it is now is
you're going to need to get more up front.
Yeah, coming out of the 04 lockout... The younger guys got kicked in the teeth, the entry-level guys, because the older guys weren't taking a hit. Excuse me. With the first time there was going to be a cap, right? So who's going to get punished? The guys coming into the league. Like, Kovalchuk made, like, $5 million his first year.
Didn't his first deal also kind of get negated by the league? Weren't they trying to sign him?
I don't
Kovalchuk,
know.
It was some ridiculous, like, 17 years, and the league was like, what are you doing?
Entry-level?
No. I'm not talking entry-level.
Yeah,
but I'm just talking, like, there's
all
these,
like... That was, like, 5 years ago.
Oh.
What the?
17 years, $101 million. Something like that.
The league was like, no.
Yeah, that got booted for circumvention.
Because But it is worth keeping an eye on these types of things because it was that kind of deal that they tried to make and they ended up making a long one. It was the Roberto Luongo. It was the DiPietro. Like all these deals that suddenly the CBA got adjusted the way it did with the front heavy and...
Time has not been kind to any of those deals.
And time has not been kind. So
Mike Richards,
will we see another change?
11 years. I mean, it's...
Doesn't make sense. Anyways, we're just revamping things for the NHL right now. We're just going to put our notes together and we're going to submit something.
But I wanted to go back to Duclair for a second as a possibility. I mean, he's one of those guys that I would look at. 44 points last year. Obviously, he's really struggled this year, but who hasn't in Arizona? You'd think that, certainly with his skating, that something exists there where he might be able to find it. The question is, at what cost?
Do you think Jordan Eberle would be too expensive?
I think so. I mean, who would you want to give up
to get? They already have that anyways.
The Leafs?
Yeah. They have two small right wingers. You don't want a third one. That's the problem Edmonton had for 5 years. Matthews needs a big winger who can actually score. That's all they need up front. They might already have it on the team, but that's a conversation that probably take a lot longer than we have before we got to go to break.
Do you want
JVR?
Let's discuss this when we return. By the way, we still have those two Leafs tickets to give away tonight for the Leafs taking on the Islanders. It's actually right here on TSN4 as well with Puck Drop at 7:30. But you could be there live. So we'll have our trivia question coming up next as you continue to listen to Leafs Lunch.
That Hansel's so hot right now.
Get out of your computer. Oh, I messed that up.
You've been
that should be your read.
That's embarrassing.
Totally messed it up. Get out of your vehicle lease ASAP. Over 200,000 customers per month looking to take over your lease. What a relief. Go to leasebusters.com. We are giving away two tickets to the Leafs Islanders game tonight at the Air Canada Center. Be the first to call in with the answer to this. What is the Toronto Maple Leafs new slogan in the dressing room? 416-870-1050. Be the first caller. Leafs new slogan in the room. 416-870-1050. And you get two tickets tonight to see the Leafs try to get a win against the Islanders. They're 0-1-1 against them this year. Islanders played same amount of games, just 1 point behind the Toronto Maple Leafs, and things are tightening up.
Pro tip, it is not burn the boats, the Randy Carlyle slogan.
What was it? It was or
no? It's not. That's not the current.
Oh, it's not that one. Which was I actually like that one. I know the current slogan because I like. Well, and I guess there's a difference between slogans and mottos. I mean, I don't know. Is there a difference? Because I'm big into the. I don't know. Whatever.
I'm not a person to ask.
As long as it's a personal one, yes, it's a pretty good one. But I like that Carlyle burn the boats. Basically, mean there's
Andy
no
has
going
a peaceful
back.
Heart.
I have a peaceful heart, warrior spirit. Which means that there is a way to be peaceful and kind in this world, yet not be taken advantage of. You still are a fighter who can stand up for yourself. Yeah, unlike some people who just don't know how to be polite. Leafs taking on the Islanders. That's tonight on TSN. Special Trade Center preview show at 7 p.m. with Puck Drop at 7:30 on TSN 4. This is why we've been talking about all this trade stuff.
Essentially an extended insider trading edition.
It is. And before going to break, Sully, you said, hey, JVR. Put him next to Matthews. Let's see. Give her.
I don't know. Let's find out.
Why not?
Maybe they're unbelievable together.
Yeah.
Maybe that's going to... I think, you know, this year everybody wants to talk about, well, it's finding out what they have. Lou Lamoriello says, well, let's see what our core is. Well, I think you know what your core is. What are some of your other pieces? Is this a veteran guy that you want to find a way to sign? Because it's not impossible to bring JVR back.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably try him with your best player before you let him walk out the door, potentially. So who knows? I mean,
again, I'd be surprised if they let him walk.
I would, too. I've been saying that all year, Frank, and people go nuts about it. They can't make it work. You can't fit him in financially. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of different things you can do. There's a lot of other teams that make things work that have a much more difficult situation than the Leafs are going to have going into 2018.
Just the hole that it creates, you can't easily fill it.
He's a really unique player, and the argument against saying that, you could say that about every player. Well, not really, because he's unique. He's really good around the net.
25 to 30 goals every year.
And a great thing about him is he doesn't have to play with an elite center. Just give him give him a winger that can make plays, Marner. That's all he needs, because he's going to be around the net. He just needs people that can make plays and get it to the net once in a while. He's played with Bozak the majority of his career. In Philly, he was more of a depth guy.
He's remarkably consistent, too.
And he scored in the playoffs.
Yeah.
In Philly, he scored when he was a rookie. Cup final. And then the series that he had with
against
the Leafs
Boston.
Against Boston, he was one of their better players.
See, I'll be the one to admit that I'm antsy right now. And I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but I'm just saying, when it comes to a team
that's
not...
Sounds like a personal problem.
No, I'm antsy when it comes to the results that the Leafs are getting right now. So that's why I'm talking about switching up the lines. Now, some people may say, well, that's panic. Don't panic. Stay the course. But
well, of course, staying the course, but like, why not experiment a little bit?
But that's my point. So that's why I'm getting a little antsy. Like, just so to your point, what if Matthews, just switch up him and Bozak? I don't know. What if he had JVR Marner? Just go. And I get what Babcock is saying, is that when you have these really good players who can drive the lines by themselves, well, then you want to separate them, because then your lines become threats. Instead of having one line that's a real threat, now you have two or three. And I get that, but when you're not winning right now, when you've only won two of your last eight, and you're also not really scoring, with the exception of that, you know, Boston game, where it was really high scoring.
That was so much
worse. That's not real hockey.
I know. That was just crazy hockey. Just do it. And do it for more than 5 minutes. Because we've also said this before. He switched lines up, but he's done it for like 5 minutes, or he does it, then they score a goal, and then he goes, do it for like a full period at least.
How about like 3 or 5 games?
Whoa. Now you're asking too much of Babcock.
Look,
but I agree with you. Give it time to actually see if it works, not just 5 minutes.
You
got
to go back to the game in Ottawa, a month to the day, where they won against a team, and a team that was playing really well at the time. They played a playoff type game and came out on the good end. All the other games they've won since then were either against teams that are no good, or they're the crazy game where you got to score 6 goals.
God, so, I love the crazy game.
I know. I'm just telling you, those don't happen often. Don't look any further than the ones we've just watched. And it's because the Leafs have lately been falling behind. Everybody knows when you have a lead, you don't play the same way as you do if it's tied or if you're chasing the game. So they're going to – you look at everything at the end. Well, they outshot the other team, and their Corsi's better, but they don't have the scoring chances. So that's what they have to figure out. They're not they're not able to generate enough from the dangerous areas of the ice because things have tightened up.
It could still be so much worse. They still, I know, 2 wins in the last 8, and they've been sloppy, and their starts have been bad. They still have points in 4 of their last 5. Like, let's kind of not lose sight of that, because if this was one of their 5-game segments, they'd be hitting their 6-point
mark.
Hey,
if you want to go from here to up here, Frankie,
you can't take the foot off the gas. You can't show something and then pretend it didn't happen.
Right.
Right? But, and you can't argue with where they are in the standings and what their ability is.
These are the dog days of the season.
That's true. But if you're not looking at it the way I'm describing it, the dog days turn into dog poop, and then you're out of the playoffs, Frank.
Well done.
The urgency has to be there to turn around, because this this 8-game stretch quickly turns into 12.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then you're hanging out with Detroit at the bottom, playing footsies out of the playoffs.
Well, it's the first of footsies on Valentine's Day. That's special. Back-to-back game for the Leafs. Islanders tonight on TSN. Then they're going to be taking on Columbus tomorrow. Anderson getting the start tonight. He'll be looking for career win number 100. Paul Miller, I believe, was the winner of the tickets tonight. Congratulations. And I think that's it for us. I think we're done.
With a win tonight, the Islanders would knock the Maple Leafs out of the playoff picture. How about that?
Well, the Leafs need to play fast, and they need to play right.
3 weeks ago.
Okay, so, and I know now, I know we don't have time, but I know there's been articles written in the past, but now it's starting to heat up again, the whole, like, 3 points. Like, should teams actually get 3 points for wins?
Absolutely.
So not to create...
Stan Bowman thinks so.
Yeah.
Fake parody.
This whole fake parody thing. Leafs did not practice this morning, or game skate this morning, whatever. Babcock saying they were good in practice yesterday, felt no need to take to the ice today.
Maybe that's where the urgency comes from.
So there you go.
We're going to find out.
We're going to find out if not having a morning skate has worked. And I know every media member right now is going to go, oh, no. Because if that is the case, if they have this like incredible game tonight and they win, that means no morning skates.
Turn my mic off.
Did you turn your mic off?
Not me.
Sully, you're done. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. That's it for us. Frankie, thanks for coming on in. We got the Scott MacArthur Show coming up next.